sweat the technique. The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Jack's Grill in the Heights. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Best burgers in town. Wings look fantastic. Friday cocktails, cold beers. The boys are at Jack's Grill in the Heights for another hour. Stop by, pick up a burger for dinner tonight. Pick up some lunch on a Saturday. Stop by Jack's whenever. You're always going to get a good meal. Scotty Scheffler, new leader in Augusta. What's going down in Augusta? He's 7-under through 12. Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, they're done for round two. They're at minus six. Nikolai Højgaard is at minus four. He was one over today, though. Colin Morikawa making a little bit of a run. 2-under today, 3-under for the tournament. Cameron Davis is 3-under. And then Ludvig Åberg. Åberg, I think it's actually pronounced Åberg. Is Åberg my guy? Did I get Åberg? Is he my third guy?
Yeah, he is. I don't know. I know that yeah, Brian has Morikawa and I have Max Homa. Mm-hmm. You got the two guys. I mean, halfway through, you were the leader in the clubhouse.
I was a little worried coming into today, though, that I don't have a great third golfer. Like, Spieth is doing bad things out there. Brooks Koepka didn't have a great first round, but it looks like he's going to make the cut. Matsuyama's like right on the cut line, but I was a little worried about that coming into today. But Ludvig Åberg was minus three today and has positioned himself into the top 10. So he's bailing me out there. I was really worried about that third golfer this morning, but it looks like I'm fine.
I'm just worried about not losing. That's my main concern. I thought when Brian took Morikawa that was going to hurt him, and now it's helping him, and I don't like it much. But at least my last pick, Max Homa,
I'm just worried about not owing you guys for a second bet in a row. I already lost the March Madness.
Where are you guys at? I'm 15 under. I think I'm kind of running away with this.
I haven't done the math today, so I couldn't tell you. I was going to wait until it got to the weekend to start doing the math on it.
So you made the cut, all that. Tiger Woods looks like he's going to make the cut. He's done for the day. Had to play a little extra golf today because he didn't finish yesterday. Got very little sleep. He's wearing like I don't know what you would call it, like a hot patch on his lower back. He was applying Icy Hot around Amen Corner today. He slept 3 hours to get the leg ready to go. What a warrior, this Tiger Woods. That's why he should wear pants when he's on the golf course. But one over for Tiger Woods. He's tied for 23rd. The projected cut line's at 5 over. So Tiger's going to make the cut. He's going to break the record, which is pretty cool.
Which is exactly where Phil Mickelson's at right now, plus 5.
Oh, is he at plus 5?
Oh, so Phil's put 3
just,
over
they,
today.
They just popped Phil up on the TV. He's at plus 5, so he's right on the cut line.
Ooh, that'll be – what? Are you watching something old? Like, it says Phil Mickelson's at 2 over. Did he have a bad hole here that's not updated
yet? I guess. Maybe it was a replay.
This might be a replay on ESPN.
They popped up Phil Mickelson on the screen that said plus 5. I'm not sure.
Huh. I wonder if he maybe blew up and ESPN's not updated yet.
Maybe this is a replay. I'm not sure what's lagging behind.
Well, maybe my scoreboard didn't update yet and he triple bogeyed 17. Does it show what hole he's on?
No. I couldn't tell from the angle I have. It just said Phil Mickelson plus 5.
Man, he might have triple bogeyed 17. Like, he was 2 over going into 17. And sometimes ESPN's very slow to update their leaderboard. So it's plausible he is 5 over. I'm just curious, you know, which one of these is wrong. John Rahm, not very good. 4 over. Wyndham Clark, 4 over. Looks like they're going to make the cut.
I have, I've got both of those.
I didn't realize Victor Hovland blew up today. Victor Hovland, 7 over today. He's going to miss the cut.
Yeah, that didn't end well.
My goodness.
I had him yesterday feeling really good that I'd have at least two guys up toward the top of the leaderboard, and boy, did that one hurt.
He shot he's only through 11. He's got time. He's not done. He's not done. He's 7 over through 11 holes. He's got time. Jordan Spieth at his round one, he shot a 79. Did you see him make that 9 on that par 5?
No.
I saw him make a 9 on that par 5 earlier.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think he was kind of lucky to make a 9, too. Could have been worse than that. All right.
So you're running away with it.
I think I am. Yeah, I think I have the top two guys, and then I have a third guy who's in the top 7. So, yeah, I think that I am running away with it.
It's just me and BMAC. I just can't finish last. At least I got home at minus 6, giving me a little bit of a cushion.
I'm like Larry Bird walking into the three-point contest and asking you two who's playing for second. That's my confidence.
Leaving the warm-up on, not even taking the warm-up off.
Right now, it's just a battle for who's buying your drink. That's right. What the battle is.
I'm excited about it, too. Did you see all the McNairs? Not all the McNairs, just two of them. Cal and Hannah, they're making the media rounds. It's funny how they do this.
Did.
Like, They have to have a media person. Like, there's no doubt about it. They have a media person that's like, hey, okay, here's what we're doing today. Here's what we're doing tomorrow. This whole public relation thing, because it's gotten so much better for the Texans. But they literally talk to every news station in town. And
yeah,
it's funny, like, I wonder if they had these news stations lined up in the hallway because they kind of, like, repositioned themselves around the room or where they were doing this. So I wouldn't be shocked if you had Channel 2, Channel 11, Channel 13, Fox 26. They're all sitting in the hallway waiting to be summoned by the McNairs, and then whoever's handling the PR is just moving their position throughout the room that they're in. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, I actually saw, I think it was 11, was trying to do questions almost like split screen to make it look like they were getting questions from outside of the room. But, yeah, this is just one of those media schedules where, to me, honestly, watching this and seeing it on a couple of different stations, I'm like, they're starting to get a little corny, and it's starting to actually get a little annoying that they're doing this stuff now. Look, all the credit in the world to them and everybody involved in it that they got the 180 and they've got everybody positive about ownership and positive about the team. But it got a little hokey yesterday with some of them when they were, well, I think it was two was asking them, or one of them, one of the stations was asking about Diggs being a diva, and Hannah turns, what's wrong with a diva, honey? Am I a diva? I'm like, I don't need all that. I just don't.
Yeah, we had that cut. We'll get to that in a second. We have two cuts. One of them's that one. I want you to pay attention to Cal, too, a little bit. Like, Cal's more beloved now, but he's still just as big a doofus as he has ever been. The first one was Hannah McNair saying that the Texans are win now. But pay special attention to Cal McNair. Here it is.
Our boys, when they heard the Stephon Diggs news, were screaming around the house, and then their friends said their teacher stopped class to tell everyone. So there's quite a buzz amongst the younger generation about the guys that we brought in. So that's exciting.
And we embrace the expectations. That's where we want to be. And at the same time, it's about building the team and the team being coached and working hard. It's the day-to-day things that are going to get us where we want to get to, but we've got to stay focused on, you know, and work hard every day to bring about where we want to go.
And we want to win now.
What is he talking about, Cal McNair?
He's reading every bullet point that someone put on the piece of paper that's behind the camera, because he's just basically giving you the hopefully we can help the team. Good Lord. I mean, at the end of the day, we want more wind than Lothith, and if we can win the division, then we're on the path.
I mean, you didn't have a list.
Exactly where. Well, I like to do – that's the way I've always done my Cal McNair, is that he kind of rounds out his accentuations of words and just – overemphasizes the obvious.
It's funny to me listening to Cal. And look, I've always stand for Cal McNair. You know, I've called him Cool Cat Cal even whenever people didn't like Cal McNair. So I was on the front of this, you know, this train advocating for Cal McNair. But he talks and says nothing. But Hannah McNair says the Texans are win now. Are the Texans win now?
Oh, I think everything that we've seen to date this offseason has led you to believe they are absolutely win now. I don't think they're going to mortgage the future. I don't think Caserio would let that happen. But I do believe that they are, with just the free agency and the activity, that was one thing. But then when you finish off what they've done so far by going out and making the trade with the renegotiation that you did with Diggs, you basically spelled it out for the whole world. We are not slowing down. We are not padding the brakes. We are in go-for-it mode.
Yeah, I think that they're in win now. I mean, when you're trading a future second-round pick for a receiver who's in his 30s and then you're restructuring it to a one-year deal, you're that's win now move. Like, that's just it. It just is. If you were a rebuilding team, you wouldn't do that. If you were a team who's middling, like, not even like – I mean, I say middling, that has a negative connotation. I didn't mean it that way. But if you're a team who's, like, happy going 10-7 and not making the serious push for the Super Bowl – I don't think you make that trade. Like, that's a trade that you make when you're ready to clear the hurdle, when you're trying to make a push to get somewhere that you've never gotten before. So I agree. I agree that the Houston Texans are acting win now, and I'm okay with it too. Like, you have a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract.
yeah, go for it, man. Go for it. You feel like you have a chance to do something you've never done before? Go for it. I'm cool with aggression. I'm cool with bravado. So I'm in favor of this. You could argue that the trade's not great. You could argue they gave up too much value for potentially 1 year of a guy, and I understand it. I totally understand it. But I also like teams who are aggressive when they're really good. They're going after it.
No, you have to appreciate it because a lot of times you don't see, like you said, there's a lot of teams and a lot of owners that just don't ever feel comfortable completely putting the pedal down. And the fact that they did make advancements and kind of put the fast track on getting back past respectability and being a good team again, and now they're not going to look back. They're not going to they took out a lot of the risk of, you know, the schedule and year two, and if there was a chance for any kind of a letdown or guys not being able to do what they did a year ago. And they just said, basically, we're not even going to throw caution to the wind. We're going to give ourselves an even better chance to win now that we've already done what we've done. And we're going to put the pedal fully down. And I don't think that with Nick Caserio, they're ever going to be where they make a huge gamble type move with the years and the money. And we've seen that. But the moves that they made, the money that they've spent, and the aggressiveness that they've gone about their business, if you're a Texans fan, you should be extremely excited that they're in go-for-it mode, and also that I don't think they've done anything that's really going to screw them for the future.
Here was Hannah McNair on that diva comment. She was asked, is Stephon Diggs a diva or something in that vein? Here was their response.
Why do you think that he will be a good fit here in this organization?
Do you think I'm a diva? Am I a diva?
No, I said Stephon Diggs, not you.
I mean, I don't know. It depends on what your definition is.
So I don't really know him yet. I look forward to getting to know him. I think as a receiver, you probably want the ball. And I think as team, you want receivers that want the ball and want to make a difference with it once they get their hands on it. And I think he's one of those guys that can make a difference. And I'm glad he's here, and I look forward to getting to know him. I think we have a team that really works together well, and I think they'll if he goes off a little bit, they'll probably challenge him and bring him back in. But they'll work together as a team, and I look forward to that.
And this is where you trust your evaluators, right?
Right.
I think we have a good culture in our locker room that he's coming into, and I think he's a great fit.
That's what Cal was trying to say. That's what Cal McNair was trying to say. Trying to say we had a good culture, and Hannah McNair cleaned it up there at the end.
Is there any doubt who's wearing the pants and making the decisions in that family?
Hannah McNair,
she just comes in like a half a sentence and says what he just said with the nothing burger and fries.
You want receivers who want the ball. Teams want receivers who want the ball. If he gets off the beaten path, the team will help him. Team will challenge him. Hannah's like, scoot over, honey. I got this. We have a good team culture that is going to make it better for everybody. Like, he just cleaned up the mess that's Cal McNair. Why? Just let Hannah talk. Just let Hannah – actually, you know what? Don't do that because we would lose all of the entertainment value from this. Man, we love Cool Cat Cal, the handlebar
Jeremy,
mustache.
Jeremy, I don't Fantastic. Know if you know this or not, but running backs want the ball too, and they run with it instead of catch it, but they do what they do.
Yeah,
and man. They want to win football games.
Yeah. 2585, Cal talks like a guy who asked his wife if he could order from the big boy menu when he goes out to a restaurant. He does. Honey, can I get the prime? Do your impersonation and say, honey, can I have the steak?
Honey, is for one night, am I allowed to have the steak instead of the chicken breast? I really am craving it.
2788. You sound like Cal that's a bit of a diva. Diggs is starting to wear off on him a little bit. 2787, no doubt in my mind, Cal wears underoos. I'm not even sure what those are.
Underoos
sure
were,
Google this.
Weren't they like the cartoon? They were like cartoon-themed underwear?
Yeah, that's what they are.
Yeah.
It's a brand of underwear primarily for children produced by
Boot Alone,
and they have these superheroes on them.
Was it Stuart Smalley on Saturday Night Live where, I just think that you're okay, I'm okay, and gosh darn it.
Yeah, your impression is very Stuart Smalley.
Our team is going to be okay.
We
want
to
win.
Every time you do it, I get vibes of watching Stuart Smalley interview Michael Jordan and to try to motivate him.
I cannot get enough of Cal McNair. I really can't. It's so good.
We're a team that just wants to win football games
and
be
win.
Exciting.
Because we're good enough.
And
we're
darn
smart
it,
enough.
Smart enough. And gosh darn it.
People like us.
3062. Cal sounds like he's debating with himself. He's going to take him in dynasty mode on Madden. About Diggs. Well, he's a receiver who wants the ball. Teams like receivers who want the ball. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Should Lance Berkman's number be retired in Houston? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Should you get synthetic grass for your yard? Absolutely. And if you're getting synthetic grass for your yard, it should be Synlawn. It should be Synlawn each and every time. I'm looking at a bunch of artificial grass right now, and I can tell you right now that Synlawn is the best artificial grass. Spring, we're seeing a little bit of rain, we're seeing the grass grow, we're seeing the weeds grow, all the stuff that annoys us, right? Because you're wasting your valuable time having to put up with this nonsense. The grass is growing faster than you can keep up with it. Well, stop doing that. The weeds are taking over your yard. That's annoying. You don't want to put chemicals in your yard because you're scared of what that can do. There's dead spots in your yard. You don't want to water each and every night. All of these chores are annoying and you don't want to do them. Well, stop doing them and send Synlawn can help you do that and get your weekends back. Synlawn, the evolution story of the AstroTurf. Of course, that's huge in Houston. That was made popular by the Astrodome. And now Synlawn, S-Y-N-Lawn, wants to get your weekends back and improve your lifestyle. Stop mowing. Stop pulling weeds. Stop throwing all of your money into this ugly yard that you're embarrassed of people seeing. You can't have get-togethers. You can't have your boys over to watch the Masters because you're scared they're going to make fun of your yard. Well, get Synlawn artificial grass and never have to worry about that again. Synlawn offers a lifetime warranty. You're covered there. Products are made in the USA. You can trust that. The quality's top shelf. The people are elite. It's fully insured. It's fully bonded. Oh, yeah, they also have their own in-house crews. They don't contract anything out. You've had to deal with that in your life. You've had people that have those contract out certain jobs in your house, and it's terrible. It's awful. You don't like dealing with it. You don't have to deal with it with Synlawn. They don't do that. Synlawn's number one priority is making their customers happy, and they will. Synlawn is perfect for your yard, whether you want the putting green in your backyard. It works great with everything. Your patio, kids' playground, your pets, they get muddy. They track that mud inside. Sometimes your kids do that too. You don't have to worry about that anymore with Synlawn. Head to 975synlawn.com to learn more. That's 975synlawn.com. Get started on the yard of your dreams. Synlawn, control the process from yarn to yard.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Jack's Grill in the Heights.
Chris just pointed this out to me on Twitter. Yeah, we are at Jack's Grill in the Heights. The boys are. I'm not. But I wish I was, because the food there is fantastic. I love their burgers. You've heard me talk about it all day. I really wish I could try the wings there. Not all locations have the wings, but the one in the Heights does. Friday cocktails, beer. Stop by Jack's, pick up dinner. You will not be sorry. Before we get to the question, should the Astros retire the number of Lance Berkman? 713-780-ESPN. Chris pointed out to me on Twitter about the Astros lineup. You know that Jose Abreu hasn't been in the lineup 2 days in a row?
Really?
Isn't that interesting that John Singleton has started? Like, maybe Abreu's one of the guys that's sick. Like, we know that a couple of guys have got a stomach bug or whatever.
We're sick of seeing him.
That is true, yes. Second time you used that joke. Funnier the first time, but yes, we are sick of seeing
it.
Yeah, you said you were sick of watching the Astros. So a little different, the same. So kind of the same. You used the same joke, but two different
things can be
subjects,
true.
I guess, kind of. Yeah, I mean, they're both true. they're definitely both true. But, yeah, he didn't play yesterday. John Singleton got the start. And John Singleton starting today. Now, is Abreu sick? I don't know. We heard that Bregman was. Chaz is dealing with a little bit of a hamstring. We didn't hear that Abreu was sick. We just heard that a couple Astros were. But what we know about Jose Abreu is that he got pinch hit for by Victor Caratini in extra innings in the 10th the other night. He was hitting in the 8th spot the last game that he started, and he has not started in back-to-back games. It sounds to me, unless he's sick today, and we don't know, but I haven't seen that it's been reported that he's sick, it seems like the Astros are getting closer and closer to giving up on Jose Abreu.
Well, then I hope that there's a different plan, that plan B isn't John Singleton. And that would be great, because, I mean, when you talk about the scenario, it's one thing to be able to admit that they're ready to at least sit him down, even if you're not going to release him. Mm-hmm. But then you got to have a viable option to replace him because you still need some offensive production. If he's sick, I mean, maybe he's got I can't hit itis. I don't know what it is, but maybe a time on the bench and just a chance to kind of extend your every other game and just take some time off like you did last year. Maybe that's a last ditch to figure things out. But then the question becomes, who's going to be playing first base? Because Singleton isn't much better than he is.
Alex says bring up a J-Lo, Lo Perfido. I'm cool
he
with
another
that.
One it, last night.
It may, maybe quitting on him is a little bit too strong. But you can certainly tell that they don't love him a whole lot. You can certainly tell they don't think a whole lot of him. That's the minimum. 713.
I think the if nothing else, it tells you there is a sense of urgency that they realize that, you know, it isn't just write it off as a slow start to start the season. I think there's a bit more concern, and then when the injuries are factored in as well, they realize that that there's a little bit more pressure to start trying to put some wins together.
Because, I mean, last year's start wasn't very good either. It maybe wasn't as bad as this one, but last year it was, okay, well, we still think he's going to come out of this, and to show you we think he's going to come out of this, we're going to keep him in the middle of the lineup. They were very slow to move on Jose Abreu. This year, and maybe because it's year two, maybe it has nothing to do with the manager, and it's just because it's year two of this for Jose Abreu, they're a lot quicker to act. Like, they're demoting him to the eighth spot. They're not playing him in back-to-back games. They're pinch-hitting for him in the 10th inning. You didn't see this with the Astros last year when it came to Jose Abreu. So they don't think as highly of Jose Abreu. Like, they just don't. Like, they're telling you. Their actions are telling you this. Is Dana Brown going to go on the flagship and say, back a baseball card, we think he'll come out of this? Of course he's going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course a spot is going to back him up because you can't throw him under the bus. You can't be like, yeah, he sucks. All these advisors didn't know what they were doing. You can't say that publicly. We all know that. We're not fools. But what do the actions tell you? I just cited four different actions. He got pinch hit for by a backup catcher. He last game he started, he was batting eighth. He was not in the lineup yesterday. He's not in the lineup today. They don't think highly of him.
And when he is, he's not hitting. And the fact is that he's getting an exorbitant amount of money to where we owe you nothing more than what we owe you, and we know we have to pay you that. But maybe the tough love is exactly what they have to do. Stop worrying about the fact that you're hoping he snaps out of it. And we all understand, to the point you made the other day, as harsh of a reality as it can be, you have to pay him one way or another, but it very well might be addition by subtraction that if he, I think if he'd have pushed back, there would be a more likely outcome of he would be sent packing. Mm-hmm. But I think he's trying to be, he has to be, I mean, he should be, right? He's trying to be a team player and realize, hey, I know I suck right now, so I'll accept what you're throwing my way, whether it's in the lineup or not being in the lineup at all. But at a certain point, you got to realize, hey, maybe as a backup, he's a viable option to at least keep on the roster, hoping that he snaps out of it. But I need a guy playing first base right now that can give me some offensive production and isn't a liability defensively so that we can try and get back in this division race.
Yeah, and everything we've heard, he's a pro. Like, I don't think that he's, like, a problem. Like, he's probably not happy about it, but I don't think he's becoming an issue. Like, I don't think he's, like, yelling at everybody. And we've heard
no,
that he's
I just think
pro
at a certain point, where's your data to back up the fact that you shouldn't be down to the eighth spot or sitting?
If it doesn't exist,
he's got no
right.
leg to stand on.
No, and that no leg to stand on might be better than his aging legs. 713-780-ESPN. So I was thinking about this the other day when Victor Caratini pinch hit for Jose Abreu, actually. But David Hinsu was another guy. Like, both of those guys have worn number 17 for the Astros. And when Caratini came to the plate, and I thought this with Hinsley before in the past whenever he wore it, I'm sitting there watching a guy wear 17, and it looks bizarre to me. It looks foreign to me. It looks like no one should be allowed to wear that because of Lance Berkman with the Houston Astros. Do you think that the Astros should retire Lance Berkman's numbers so the likes of Victor Caratini and David Hinsley cannot wear it?
I absolutely do. I completely do. I think that he's a guy that, you know, when people always talk about the fact that he should still be in consideration for the Hall of Fame, if you have that kind of career, and for the majority of your career, that was a long career, it was spent in an Astros uniform, I think we talk about the Killer Bees. We talk about, you know, the things he did in an Astros uniform, even at the All-Star game the year it was here. I just feel like the body of work says if there's going to, especially with some of the guys that they've already retired the number of, that, I mean, some of them I wasn't around here for, but others I'm like, it's kind of borderline for retiring a number kind of guy. I think Lance Berkman's number should be retired with the Houston Astros.
Yeah, like the Astros have quite a few. Jim Umbricht, which I think that was because of a tragedy. It was.
Who is it?
Jim Umbricht. That was in they retired his number in 65, but I'm pretty sure they acquired him, and he passed away shortly after that.
Okay.
I'm not even sure if he played with the Astros or Core 45s at the time.
Huh.
If he did, it was like one season. That was in the early 60s. Like, it wasn't for performances because it was a major tragedy. Don Wilson, which, like, Don Wilson was obviously a great. Jose Cruz, who's a fan favorite.
Sure.
Mike Scott, yes. Nolan Ryan, yes. Larry Durker, who was, like, their first great pitcher, Colt 45.
That's one I would
manager.
Question.
Who, which one?
Yeah, I get it.
Durker?
But Durker, yeah, Durker, I wasn't here for all of it. I know that he was, like, for a short period of time, he was a fireballer. But overall, I don't know enough about that era of Astros baseball to say, because it was retired before he became manager.
Yeah, see, I think it's fair whenever you throw in all of it. I didn't realize that it was before he was a manager. But, like, you throw in his playing days, which he was really good.
Sure.
He was an all-star. He was with the team as a broadcaster forever, and then he was a really good manager. So I have no problem with Durker having his number retired. Obviously, Jimmy Wins retired, no issue there. Jeff Bagwell is a real Hall of Famer, no issue. Craig Biggio, real Hall of Famer, no issue. Now, if they continue to give Jim Crane these poor decisions, maybe we can take their numbers down. I'm kidding, kind of. When you look
at Jose... with you too, Jeremy. Excuse me. I was just going to say, to your point, the 17 is one thing, but unless you have like a ring of honor because you know, like the Yankees, they don't have a single digit left because of all the numbers retired, that you go to a ring of honor instead. But if you're going to truly still have the numbers hanging from the rafters, then because I was always cringeworthy of the Steelers guys too when I saw someone wearing Swan and Stallworth numbers and things like that going, man, I just think that's almost sacrilegious to where, yeah, I think 17 definitely should be up there.
No offense to Victor Caratini or David Hensley, but it's just it's weird to me that they're wearing 17 with as good as Lance Berkman was for the Houston Astros. Jose Cruz, lovable. We love Jose Cruz. He was a first base coach for the Astros for years. I think he still does some Spanish radio every now and then for the Astros as well, too. I could be wrong on that. But when you look at his numbers compared to Lance Berkman, just when they were in Houston, like Jose Cruz was with the Astros for 13 years. 292 hitter, 789 OPS, 138 home runs. Lance Berkman was with the Astros for 12 years. 296 hitter, 959 OPS, 326 runs and over 1,000 RBIs. Cruz was 942. Like, you know, I'm not saying take Jose Cruz's number down because it rightfully should be there. But so should Lance Berkman's. Lance Berkman's numbers should be up there where the likes of Victor Caratini and David Hensley aren't wearing the 1-7.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. I had, from a personal standpoint, I had the conversation when P.J. Tucker changed his number to 17. And I was cringeworthy at that. And not that you think Mario Elie is a slam dunk to have his jersey retired. But Mario Elie was, when you start talking about like body of work guys, because of the kiss of death, because it led to the championships, the one championship in particular, even though he didn't play his whole career here and he wasn't a Hall of Fame type player overall, that's one where you kind of – but I just think it's another level up when you start talking about Lance Berkman and what he meant for how many years with this franchise and how good he was.
Well, 0315, Berkman kept the Astros on the map of relevance. Number 17 should be retired. 1703 says that Jackson Holliday just came up wearing Ripken's number, and I was like, what? How is that not retired by the O's? It's probably an organization that doesn't do the retired numbers. They probably do the honoring ring of honor. Yeah, he's wearing number 7. I think he got the blessing of the Ripken's.
Well, yeah, Cal
wore 8.
Cal told him to wear it.
Oh, okay. I thought Cal wore 8.
Yeah,
well,
what's the deal
I'm not sure of the full story, so maybe it'll deserve some following up on. But I saw a story that Cal gave the blessing and wanted him to wear the number.
Okay.
Yeah, why couldn't he wear 7? That just hit me, too. Because I saw the story here, and I didn't think that, you know, what Cal wore 8.
No, did Senior wear 7?
I don't know.
Ripken Senior, who also managed the team?
Yeah, I'm
because
not sure.
Because Cal Ripken Jr. wore 8 his whole career.
Yeah, I only saw a headline, but the headline was that Cal gave permission and wanted Jackson to wear it.
Huh. Because I've heard of guys, we've heard in the past where a big, like your point,
yeah,
Jeremy,
it was Senior,
a big
you're right.
Name.
It was Senior.
Okay.
It was Cal Ripken Senior, so that's why. That's why it's relevant. I just made the assumption with the headline that it was Cal's old number, but then the moment you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, he wore 8. He didn't wear 7.
Because
yeah,
you've
so
heard
senior.
In the past, like a big time free agent or trade is made and a guy wants to wear a number, and then the Hall of Famer or the guy who's number retired goes, yeah, I'm cool with him wearing it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, Cal Ripken might be one of the top two or greatest Orioles of all time.
7976, Berkman was the last Killer Bee and should be retired to have that era honored. That's Huey and Spring. If you're going to retire the numbers, then Berkman should have it. Now, if I were starting an organization, I wouldn't do the retired numbers. I would do the honor, and you could put the number up there, but I wouldn't retire it. But if you're already going down that path, like no one's wearing 7, no one's wearing 5, no one's wearing 25, yep. I don't think anybody should be wearing number 17. It's weird to see David Hensley and Victor Caratini in it.
I think the Texans were smart to go with the Ring of Honor. But you also reserve the right that you can go with the Ring of Honor, and then there is, if there is an ultimate above all, like a 99 for JJ, I could see 99 also no one ever, because there's already been discussions, no, they didn't never want anybody to wear 99.
Yeah.
I think if it's like one of those iconic guys from your franchise, you retire just that handful of guys that were so on a different level.
Todd, the show's retiring numbers is silly. I agree, actually. I don't like the retiring of numbers, but once you do it, I think you keep on with the tradition. Alex reminds us that Jake Odorizzi wore number 17, too. So the people you've had wear 17 since Berkman, Jake Overeasy, who's free, by the way, would make a little bit of sense in this organization again, actually. David Hensley and Victor Caratini. They went from Berkman to Overeasy to Hensley to Caratini. Just retire it. Just retire
yeah,
already.
You should, because I was going to mention the same thing to you, that I saw Jake was free. Would you even consider bringing
yes,
him back?
For minor league deal, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I'd rather, because you never know what's going to happen with these injuries. If he would accept a minor league deal, I would have him pitch in Sugar Land. I'd rather him make a spot start than yeah. Blair Hensley. Yeah.
You bring up the bigger question, though. Will he accept it? Because, I mean, remember, he was pretty much
probably
his
not.
Way was the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because coming off the injury, he hasn't pitched in the big since the injury. I don't know where his mind's at. He might just retire. Like, I don't know. I don't know where his mind's
maybe.
At.
Maybe, yeah.
But if he was willing, I'd be willing, yeah. Minor league deal. I'm not guaranteeing him a roster spot. I'm not guaranteeing him big league money. But you can go earn it in Sugar Land, and if we need a spot start and you're pitching well, yeah. Yeah, I would kick that around for sure.
If he's better than the guys you've started recently, and Arrighetti, they have higher hopes for. But if you're talking about some of the guys that you're worried about throwing out there a second start time, then, yeah, you should probably see if there's anything left.
It sounds like you're okay with it, too, then.
I am.
Yeah,
as much
why
as I
not?
Couldn't stand him the last time he was here. Yeah,
me too.
He might need an attitude adjustment, but, yeah, he's probably a better pitcher than what you have for options.
Yeah, we don't let our feelings get in the way of team wins. Now play the over when he's pitching, though, because over easy. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Willibits coming up next. What are you getting today? What greatness with the Willibits are you getting today? Well, you have to stick around to find out. It's the Killer Bees live from Jack's Grill in the Heights on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a quick mention from my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. Look, you look at yourself in the mirror every day when you get up for work in the morning. If your hairline is gone, if you got a bald spot on top and back, or you're just going bald all over the place and you don't think there's anything you can do about it, there really is. And it's not all the gimmicky stuff. It's actually a solution. It's getting your own hair back because, as Doc Linville explained to me with a consultation, hey, look, he said, you're never going to lose genetically the hair on the sides and the back of your head no matter how bald you go in other areas. I didn't know that. When he told me that, and then he started telling me how he can take some of that hair every third or fourth follicle, put it where you need it most, and you can start seeing the results almost instantly, I was intrigued. The more I asked questions, he gave me answers, and he explained the procedure. I was all in on the NeoGraft procedure, and boy, am I glad I have been, because I got my hairline back in front. It has been a game changer, and I owe it all to Doc Linville and his staff and the NeoGraft procedure. You can get a free consultation like I had with Doc Linville and his staff because you listen to us at ESPN 97.5. Most people off the street pay $50 just to sit there and talk to those guys and see how the procedure works and see if they'd be interested in it. You get it for free just by going to 975hair.com. Go to 975hair.com right now. Set up an appointment. Nothing out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line, no commitment from you. Just all the information you could possibly need and all your questions answered to see if it's a procedure you'd like to do. If, like me, you want to do it, I couldn't recommend anybody better. He is the best in the business, and he will give you your hair back. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous fit.
Let's play. Is it Bush League?
What an enormous spin. He's blank on Brandon. The boys out at Jack's Grill in the Heights. Great burgers, great food. French fries are terrific. Friday cocktails, cold beer. All right, Bush League or not is what the voice said. Have we always used the lady?
If you mean Charlotte, yes. We've used her ever since
Charlotte?
I took over from the show. Well, that's
is that
what
Charlotte from our office?
No. It's the website that we use to generate the voices. You have different options that all have names, and the one that we've used since I've taken over from Joe has been Charlotte.
So this AI voice bot has a name.
Yes. Yeah, okay. And her name is Charlotte.
I that bothers me a little bit, if I'm being honest, that this fake person that's a computer bot has a name.
She's not fake. She's got a name. She's real.
She's still fake.
Siri does.
I don't know. Yeah. I've seen Westworld. I don't know. I don't know what's real and what's not.
I guess you're right. Alexa, too. I guess it's more popular to have a name. All right, whatever. All right, Bush League or not. This one's a little dated, and one of them has since filed bankruptcy. But former co-owner of popular Houston restaurant, the Turkey Leg Hut, set up a pop-up shop across the street from the restaurant. This was weeks after he was fired for allegedly stealing funds and sharing it with a mistress, which led to their divorce. So Bush League or not, this guy, co-owner of the he's still co-owner. I don't know how the divorce process went out. But he put up a pop-up shop across the street from the Turkey Leg Hut restaurant. Is that Bush League or not?
It's I think it's gamesmanship. I think it's cagey gamesmanship because I had heard that the Turkey Leg Hut was going under or filing
bankruptcy. Yeah. But this happened before
I love this because this is right out of the playbook of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's a spite store.
Yes, exactly.
This is a
Larry
spite
David
store.
started a spite coffee shop to mess with Mocha Joe. So I love stealing the playbook here.
Maybe it's what led to the bankruptcy. So now is it even – it adds to an extra layer to this question. Is it Bush League or not? Maybe it led to the bankruptcy of the owner for Turkey Leg Hut.
He cheated, right?
That's what it says here, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he cheated and he did the pop-up?
So apparently he cheated and he also stole funds from the Turkey Leg and then shared it with a mistress, which is what led to their divorce. So
that's dirty, dirty.
I think there's a lot of Bush League here. I don't think that the pop-up store is one of them, though. I mean, I think he's within his rights. A little spite store action never bothers me. I think there's a lot of Bush League to his actions, but I wouldn't say the pop-up shop is one of them. I think this is fine.
I would say that the pop-up shop is taking advantage of the demographic you've built in the neighborhood that you built it in with the fact that everybody knew that's where you went for a certain kind of food. And so that in close proximity with a similar name, especially if that restaurant's going under, I think that's just savvy marketing and business to go ahead and capitalize on. Hey, people used to go to that, to Turkey Leg Hut. Now if I go across the street and I find out, it's the same ownership, or at least one of them, that I can get great food. Yeah, I think that's a smart business move.
I'm with Jeremy. I think everything up to the point of the turkey shop is Bush League, but the actual turkey pop-up, not Bush League.
This is going to be a fascinating 30 for 30 because, the way that this business boomed early on was, quite the story. Pop-up, there's long lines. Then they had the dress code fiasco.
That's right.
It's been a while back now, probably, five years since the dress code fiasco, at least?
I think you're right. It also became like a marketing tool where when you were wooing free agents with the different teams, you got to take them to the Turkey Leg Hut.
It was incredibly popular. You had the long lines. You had celebrities there. I think Beyonce was there once. Then you have the tragic ending of the marriage with one of the co-owners stealing funds from the place and then sharing it with a mistress, which led to the divorce. And then you have the bankruptcy. So you have everything in this story. It's a great story. It's tragic. You have tragedy. That's part of the story. You have the great American dream where they come up and become very, very rich out of this whole thing. You have tragedy. You have divorce. I mean, this is an incredible story. Incredible story. I'm looking forward to the tell-all, the book, whatever.
This has become... It's become a news story, too. It's been on the news multiple times. I want to say, too, that I want to think that someone attempted to burn down the Turkey Leg Hut at
That's
a certain
right.
point.
I forgot
in the
about
middle
that
of
part
this.
Of it. Yeah. That wasn't that long ago. That was weeks
there's
ago.
There's all kinds of little sidebars in this.
I want to say that the woman was a former basketball player at U of H, too. Just to throw in a little
go
local
Cougs.
Tie. Yeah, go Cougs. So we're a little divided on there, I guess. Yesterday, I had a little bit of time, and I went to a coffee house in between my meetings and then the show. Someone came up to me. I was working on my computer doing some prep for the show. I have my computer out. I had my charger out plugged into my computer, okay? So I'm at a coffee shop, Little Branham, doing his work. The charger is plugged into my computer, and I had someone come up to me, tap me on the shoulder, ask me if they could use my computer charger. Is that Bush League or not?
So they just want to use the charger. They don't want to plug into your actual computer or anything.
No, they wanted to use my charger to plug into their computer as they can see that my charger is plugged into my computer.
That's true. That's extremely
true. Is it fair to ask someone in a coffee house to plug their computer into your charger while your charger is plugged into your computer?
Nope. Not. If you know somebody, you can at least say, "How are you just doing that, or do you have a good enough charge?"
Stranger.
Yeah, if it's a complete stranger and you don't know them, that is rude.
I think it's crucial to know what your charge was and what the stranger's charge was.
I don't think
that's crucial to know. Did they present
this information to you? Did they tell you, hey, man, I'm at like 5%?
They did not tell
you.
That's obvious, though. Like, if they're asking for a charge to a complete stranger, you know that they have low power on their computer. Now, they're not going to know your charge.
But you don't know them.
No, completely.
It's none of their damn business how much charge I got on my computer if I don't know you.
And I'm obviously using it, right? You're obviously using it, so you know.
Yeah, but you could, I would naturally still keep it plugged in, even if my computer was, had no problem with charge.
I happen to do that too.
Right. So if I was at like 90% and like this guy comes up and says, hey, man, can I borrow this for 10 minutes? My computer's at 5%. I got to send this one work email, and I'll give it back. I'm cool with that.
I think that's somebody if you know. Like, if it's somebody that you know, hey, what percentage are you at? 90%? Oh, okay, so you can chill for 10 minutes. Can I plug my computer into your charger? I think it's fine if you know the person. But the fact that it's a stranger, I don't think that you're privy to that information.
It's Bush League. It's rude. It's none of your damn business.
You guys are acting like it's banking information. It's just your charge number on your laptop.
But regardless, at the same time, it's not my job to worry about how the fact that you screwed up and didn't bring your charger.
That's taking it far too serious. It's just asking for like a little help. It's the same thing if your neighbor came over and asked to borrow something to do a job.
I know my neighbor.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, the request is the same. I know the person's different, but the request is the same. The spirit behind the request is the same.
But if I know the person, I'm more likely to be, of course I'd like to help you out, and I still got to charge, whatever. If I don't know you and you walk up to me and you see my computer is plugged in, and the first thing I say is, hey, can I use your charger? Go fly a kite.
And the question, the question is, Bush League or not, for the person asking the question, now we're flipping it around
not
to the actual person that has the computer and the charger. So, that's kind of disrespectful, right? Like, now you're putting the burden on that person. Like, you're putting the burden on that person to be nice. Now, I gave the charger. I had a square to spare.
All that.
But I could still – you could say yes, but the question can still be Bush League. I thought the question was Bush League. Now, am I nice and polite and a Southern gentleman? Of course I am. I'm General Branham. So I gave the charger out, but I wouldn't do that. I would never ask somebody to borrow their charger on my computer that I didn't know, that was a complete stranger. I would never do that, and I do find that Bush League.
Did they apologize when they asked?
No.
Like, hey, man, I'm sorry to bother you.
In fact, at first I thought they were just asking for the plug in the wall. Because that's way more understanding. Like, hey, can I plug in my computer? There's no other plugs. It's the closest one. There's an extra plug. Yeah, no problem. No, because I actually was like, the plug? And they're like, no, the charger. And I was like, oh, kind of taken aback. I was like, oh. But I was like, sure, whatever. It's not that big a deal. But I did think the question was Bush League.
I agree.
And then, Brian, you're out on this, huh?
Yeah, no, Brian.
The answer is no, if you ask. I don't think
it's Bush League at all to ask.
Okay. All right.
It's the way you ask, too. Hey, man, I'm sorry to bother you.
Sure, there's definitely courtesy in the way you ask. That part is important, but the question itself, to me, is not Bush League.
All right, there you go. What do you all think? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's time now for our car wreck of the day. Each and every Friday, our car wreck of the day, all the mean things that you say to us. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Jack's Grill in the Heights.
Thanks to Jack's Grill for having us out, having the boys out. Great burgers, great food, great time. You will not be disappointed. Stop by Jack's Grill, pick up your next meal. It is good. It is fantastic. We close out the show each and every week, Car Wreck of the Day, with a mean text that you tell us throughout the week. A couple of texts, though, on the Bush League or not, real quick. 8755, no, I would have said, I'm sorry for being rude. Can I please use your charger? I know I made an idiot mistake. Forgive me, but can I use your charger? I need to submit something important. That's how I would have asked Branham. I would have appreciated that. I wouldn't have thought that was Bush League. I still gave the charger out. Just thought it was an awkward request. 4844, that person might have a job where they have to ask uncomfortable questions. Could be second nature to them. Either way, Bush League. And then Beaumont Todd, Bush League is hanging out in a coffee shop with your laptop, LOL. What? That's like everybody goes to coffee shops and does work on their laptop. Laptops are very popular inside of coffee shops.
I understand if you're like, you know, you can possibly have your computer stuff compromised. That's how some people are like trying to get people hacked these days. But yeah, what the heck? Everybody takes their laptop to the coffee shop.
Everybody. Maybe they don't have internet in Beaumont.
Our Starbucks is always full of people doing work with their laptops.
It's second nature. It's more second nature than the coffee inside of coffee shops, it seems. What are you saying well for, Brian?
No, I don't do either. I don't go to coffee shops, and if I did, I wouldn't take
it. You don't drink coffee.
You have no expertise here.
I know. I that's why I didn't weigh in. I'm just saying not technically everybody does
it. If they had a Coke Zero shop, you might go and bring your laptop.
If they did, I would still be on my phone. But
coffee shops have other things
than coffee. By the way, the Yahoo that sent us the text that said that we were wrong about the turkey leg hut having a fire, there's several headlines from the last month. KPRC Channel 2 and others that say Turkey Leg Hut's business officers catch fire in the museum district. Yeah, we were wrong. You're right.
Still could have been wrong. Could have been the reporting could have been wrong.
That video, I saw it on multiple stations.
Was there video of it?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder why he said wrong then. I'm very interested in hearing his side of the story now.
They stayed in business while their business office had caught fire.
Sheesh. All right, let's get to a couple of our mean texts here. All the mean things you say to us. Mr. Booth is a bad word off. That was Tyler and Conroe talking about Jeremy Booth. Catching a little ire from Tyler and Conroe. Honey Glaze Branham, Will Doctor is a huge bad word. Please keep his nasally voice off your airways, please. I thought we were done with annoying voices on ESPN after ESPN canned Jake and Connor.
Wow.
Oh, man. That was just spraying bullets all over.
I know. Shots fired to everybody there. I don't
People
know why he thinks
strays.
Will. I wonder why he thinks Will's a huge bad word. I didn't think Will's
if
a huge
bets,
bad word.
If he bets, I don't think he would dislike Will very much.
Yeah. Will's picks are doing okay. Like some of the top 20s, not the outright winners. Poncho said that BMAC would fit nicely as a host on The View.
I don't have enough hot takes about the solar eclipse, though, so I don't think I'd fit.
Yeah. What would you need to be to fit in on The View? One, you would need to be a woman.
I was about to say, yeah. One, I would have to lose, yeah.
And then what kind of takes would you have to be on The View, to have a view on The View?
Political. Apparently, very ill-informed ones about politics and science.
Yeah, they have a lot of political takes.
I wouldn't know. I don't watch that show. Blankers does, though. He watches it every day.
My wife does, and my wife's mom does.
Todd, the show says Spokane better than Spolane. One got me good yesterday. I think he said it yesterday. That one cracked me up. That was well played, Todd, the show. I like that one. Wheatstraw, I'm not sure what this was in reference to, but Wheatstraw said nobody won, especially the listeners. That was during our program, Wheatstraw.
Today?
I think we get that message every week. Yeah, that might just be a bit of that person.
Someone, usually not Wheatstraw, though.
Was that today?
No, it wasn't. I can't remember the day. I didn't put a tie. Okay. Definitely wasn't today, though.
So then it wasn't related to who said it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't who said it one today. I should have gotten Snell, you useless GM Brown, and Scarecrow Espada. I've never heard Espada referred to as a scarecrow.
Yeah.
Have you?
Is that, no.
I've never heard that.
I'm trying to think of, like, is that, like, I could see, like, Dana being... No, I think it's because, like, you're just a front person.
He has
the
no
people
heart?
Behind the scenes. Doing the work? Maybe.
That was the thing with Scarecrow, right? He had no heart. No, that wasn't Scarecrow. That was the Tin Man.
That was the...
The Tin Man didn't have a heart. What was the Scarecrow's
Lion
issue?
Needed what? Courage? What did the Scarecrow need?
I can't remember the Scarecrow's issue.
A brain.
A hoe. Needed a brain.
There you go.
Wicked's a pretty good play, by the way. All right, thanks to the folks at Jack's Grill for having us out. Austin for doing all the hard work. Brian for never being to a coffee shop. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you next week, Houston. Vinyl Voices at 7, Hall of Fame at 8, Comicast at 9. Keep it here. Plugged in on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. See you.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.